Our guest this hour provides a guide. Joan Gattuso wrote a book called The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. Joan is a Unity minister who lives in Hawaii. She has studied with the Dalai Lama and is the author of three previous books, A Course in Love, A Course in Life, and The Lotus Still Blooms. Joan Gattuso, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Sure.
My pleasure.
I'd be surprised if forgiveness did not come up in the earlier books, but what made it a focus?
Oh, it did. It did. It came up especially in my first book, A Course in Love, which was on creating loving, holy relationships. So forgiveness is just a necessary component if we want to be happy in life. And I decided long ago that I was ready to give up the suffering and my grievances in exchange for being happy, and forgiveness was the path to get there. So that's how I began to be involved with writing and practicing forgiveness.
So the concept apparently sunk in for you fairly late in life.
Well, I don't know if I'd say
later. Well, into adulthood?
Maybe late now, but I started when I was still in my 20s, I believe. Is that late, Jeff?
No. But as an adult.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
So you give some examples of forgiveness very early in the book, and one of them is surprising. I mean, it's a well-known example, the Dalai Lama, but the Dalai Lama actually forgives the Chinese government for taking over Tibet?
Isn't that extraordinary?
Truly.
Isn't it? I've been with the Dalai Lama dozens of times, and he truly is the holiest person that I've encountered. And he forgives the Chinese. I mean, and I always say to people, you know, if the Dalai Lama can forgive the Chinese for taking over his government, his people, the monasteries, can't you forgive your brother? You know, like, let's put life in perspective here. But he has forgiven them, because he didn't want to keep that hatred in his heart. He knew that would destroy him. And in order to not be destroyed by what happened, he had to forgive them.
So it sounds like that's the issue for all of us then. I mean, letting an unforgiven wrong or a transgression against us linger really ends up eating us up more than it does to the person who might have done something to us.
It really does, Jeff. Let me share this quote I just found the other day, so I'm keeping it right on my desk to use. It was attributed to, her name is Jennifer Worth, and she was the author of the public television series called Call the Midwife, and it is. Forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. And the Dalai Lama couldn't have his heart destroyed by the Chinese, and you and I don't deserve to have our hearts destroyed by whatever situations occurred in our lives.
And there's a key principle you deliver early in the book, and that is that forgiveness is not about changing the other person. So I guess that just leaves one other party.
Yes, it does. Yes, that's something I learned early on, that our forgiveness work is not about the other person being changed. It's about us being transformed. And that energy in us shifts so that we can have a happy life, so we can have a future different from the past. And the way to get there is through forgiveness. Years ago, when I first started studying The Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual text that many people probably, especially in your part of the country, would be familiar with, but in the Course it states, forgiveness offers everything I want. And so if you want happiness, if you want peace of mind, if you want a healthy body, if you want ease with your finances, if you want a holy relationship, the way to get there is through forgiveness. So I took those words seriously and really worked with forgiveness for a long time.
Do we have to forgive people? Do we have to forgive circumstances in life? I mean,
all of the above.
Oh, really? Hmm.
All of the above. You know, the Dalai Lama had to forgive, excuse me, please, the Chinese government. You may have to forgive your mother. We have to forgive the long-time relationships, the significant relationships, but we need to forgive just the little annoyances in life so they don't take root. They don't have, like, little tentacles that come out and wrap around our heart and squeeze the love out of our heart. We go, you know, this isn't really important. I'm willing to forgive you and let it go. So yet we have to forgive. It's just a daily practice, as I see it, Jeff, that we just have to be willing to forgive everyone and everything and set ourselves free so we can be happy, and we all deserve to be happy. And forgiveness is a way to get there. It is the way to get there.
You write, Joan, of people being wounded by others' unskilled behaviors, is the term you use here. Unskilled behaviors, is that a light term for cruelty?
That's a Buddhist term. Isn't it great? Rather than swearing and saying nasty words, we say unskilled behavior. Yes, and people can be so unskilled. They're asleep. That's how I look at it. They're just asleep. They're sleepwalking through life. They may be up and going about their day and their job and their responsibilities, but they're still asleep. They're asleep to who they really are. So they lash out and they hurt other people. They claw to get ahead, and their behavior is very unskilled. It's mean. Often, it's very mean.
We're talking to Joan Gattuso about her book, The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. We'll talk more with Joan when we come back from a break. Join us. You might have stories to tell from your own life about either needing to give forgiveness to someone else or being forgiven by someone. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the program with Joan Gattuso, The Power of Forgiveness, and you in a minute 30. Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Joan Gattuso, a Unity minister. She lives in Hawaii, studied with the Dalai Lama, has written four books now. The latest is The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. It's not about helping the other person so much as it is helping you get on with your life. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join our conversation with questions, comments, or perhaps stories from your own life about forgiveness incidents or the lack thereof. You can email us at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Joan, help us out here, because I'm imagining there's a fairly long spectrum between holding on to something, just clinging tenaciously to your anger, and it's forgotten, the incident that caused the anger in the first place. So is it a narrow slot, forgiveness, or is it a fairly wide spectrum?
I think it is a very wide spectrum, and it takes a great deal of spiritual practice. That's what I offer in The Power of Forgiveness, is spiritual techniques to get us from our wounded place to a place of freedom. And that takes work. It doesn't just happen because we say, oh, I heard you talking to this woman this morning, and she said I needed to forgive, so I forgive you, you son of a bitch, you know? It doesn't happen like that. It happens after we do a great deal of exercising spiritual practices. We do our spiritual work. And then our heart begins to soften. Our memory begins to fade. Our grievances become less. And we'd rather have freedom from that suffering than to cling on to it any longer, to cling to it any longer.
The spiritual practices are pretty broad in here. I mean, obviously somebody who studied Buddhism with the Dalai Lama and as a Unity minister has been exposed to a bunch of different spiritual practices. Are they necessary? I mean, you say you need to do it, but I mean, how necessary are the spiritual practices versus turning up the, you know, Springsteen in the car and just screaming along?
That's a great question. I don't know anybody that it's worked just screaming along in the car, but maybe there's people that will call us and say, well, it worked that way for me. Maybe there are. What I know and what I've taught, and I've worked with countless people in all these years, which is 30-plus years, that to engage in a practice, a ritual, whether it's meditation or writing or what most of my practices that I do personally involve writing and maybe burning what you've written and then meditating to shift that energy. Just the burning is symbolic of shifting the energy. And so we do these various practices. Should I share one of my favorite ones?
Please.
Okay. So I had a very painful marriage. I was young. I was naive. I thought that this man, who was much, much older than me, I thought he was going to take care of me. And there were loads of warning signs along the way, but I was temporarily blinded. I couldn't see them. And so I thought he was going to take care of me. And once I was married to him, he wasn't the least bit interested in taking care of me. And he was very, let's say, self-consumed, self-centered. And he was well off. He was very well healed. But he would give me bills every month for, like, this is your portion of the groceries for the month, even though I did all the cooking and cleaning up. This is your portion of the groceries. This is what your gasoline charges would be for the month. And, like, that wasn't enough. Then he started to become physically violent, and he had girlfriends, and he'd be out till, you know, 2 or 4 in the morning. And it just became something I couldn't live with. And finally, I left for the last time when he tried to strangle me. And I left, and I thought, you know, I can't go on like this. I wanted to be in a loving partnership, but it wasn't going to be with him. And I knew that I wasn't supposed to strangle him, that I needed to forgive him. So I set a very directed course on forgiving him. And Jeff, as I shared in The Power of Forgiveness, I wrote three times a week. I say don't do it every day. It's too much if you do it every day. It brings up too much toxic energy. But I did 3 times a week. When I'm speaking on air, I call him LG, which are his initials. But Gattuso is my name, not his. And I would put LG, I forgive you for, not just for being a son of a gun to me, I forgive you for taking my car keys and hiding them on Sunday morning when I had to drive 45 miles to get to church to do church services. That used to give me a major anxiety attack. I forgive you for charging me for just our daily living expenses. I forgive you for, and I would put everything down, prefacing it with, I forgive you for. And then I would take that list, and I would do that for, oh, maybe 20 minutes, could be a half an hour, but a significant amount of time. And then I would burn that list, and the burning isn't magic. It's just symbolic of it just becoming ash, just becoming nothing. And then I would go and I would sit down and I'd meditate, just breathing peace in, breathing out the trauma, breathing out the hurt, breathing light in, breathing out the darkness. And I would do that, the breathing technique, for 10, 15 minutes, and then I was done, and I would go about my day. And I was beginning to think about the situations less and less, think about him less and less, beginning slowly to feel more freedom, more peace of mind. Jeff, do you want to venture a guess, if you don't remember from reading in the book, how many years I did that?
I don't recall.
5.
5. It took that long. Wow.
It took that long. Now, the thing is, I'm not the slowest learner on the planet, and I'm not the fastest, but it took 5 years. But at the end of the 5 years, it happened that I just knew I was done. I just absolutely knew I was done. I didn't have any ill feelings towards him. I only wanted peace and love for him. And actually, in my first book, I tell a story. In the Course in Love, I tell a story about how he was critically ill and had the hospital call me. Now, we had been divorced for quite a few years, and ask if I would come and see him because he was afraid he was going to die. So who's he want when he's going to die? Oh, Joan, you know. So I did. I remember I went, it was like late at night, it was like 12:30, and I said to my husband, David, who's my beloved husband, I said, do you want to go with me? And he goes, why would I want to do that? I said, I don't know. Do you want to go? He said, you can go by yourself. Just do valet parking. They had valet parking even late at night, you know, and you'll be fine. You'll be safe. And so I went to see him, and he said to me, and he was very ill, he said, can you ever, ever forgive me? I was such, and I'll spell it, I was such an S-H-I-T to you. I write this in a course in Love. And I said, you know, I couldn't be here if I hadn't already forgiven you. I couldn't be here. And so we prayed. And the funny thing about our praying together was that he was on this weird kind of hospital bed that in order to hold his hands and pray, Jeff, I had to kneel down So here I am kneeling down on the floor, holding his hands as he's in this real low hospital bed. And he started to cry. I felt so free. I just felt so free. And he kept saying, please forgive me. I said, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. I am not a saint. I couldn't be here if I hadn't forgiven you. And it just showed me, it proved to me, the gifts that forgiveness will bring, not instantly, but in time. Forgiveness brings us great gifts.
Joan Gattuso is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange Unity Minister, has studied with the Dalai Lama, has written three previous books. The new one, the fourth book, is called The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. A rich vein for us to mine here. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your own stories or questions or comments for Joan. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You know, I imagine the flip side of the 5 years it took you to get over the dealings with LG and to find the path to forgiveness with him is a cautionary note to not try to do this too fast. I mean, lots of people say, oh, it's fine, I forgave him. But it's got to be a little deeper than that, it sounds like, from what you're saying.
Oh, that's very wise of you, Jeff. I mean that. It's just very wise of you. Absolutely. It does take time, because when we've had these hurtful situations with a person, and a person we've been close to, I would say, you know, the person that betrayed Jesus wasn't some guy who worked at the market. It was Judas, one of his disciples. The person that has betrayed you is somebody that's close to you. It is a lifelong best friend. It is a parent. It is a relative that you've been close to. And so it takes time to forgive that person. Because the hurtful thing they did, I see it like it's gotten woven, like a tapestry. It's gotten woven into our souls, and we have to unravel those threads through forgiveness and pull them out so that we are free. We are free to create a future different from the past. And I love that line, that I am free to create a future different from my past. Your listening audience can use that as an affirmation. I am free to create a future different from my past.
Let's take a call here. We have Jeannie in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joan Gattuso.
Hi, I'm smiling. It's so true, everything you say. My life has gotten so much better in the past 20 years from applying forgiveness. And one thing I wanted to say, I noticed people that seem to have more illness are usually the ones that use hate and anger and mad at you as a motivator, almost like it's their medicine to wake up and get through their day. It seems to motivate them, and then they have ill health. And I wanted to tell you my favorite quote about forgiveness. It said, forgiveness is the scent that the violet gives off when it's accidentally stepped on.
Really? Okay, so it's the forgiveness is the scent the violet gives when it's accidentally stepped on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Thanks for that, Jeannie. Appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Jeannie, thank you so much. Thank you. I'd like to comment. Jeannie went off the line, though, didn't she, Jeff?
Yeah, she did. But she's listening.
I'd like to comment on what you just said, Jeannie, about you've noticed people with illness oftentimes have a lot of hatred. There's somebody that I'm currently working with, the wife, but the husband, let's just say he lives his life in rage. And I've known other people like this. They're separated, but they still live in the same house because they have a huge mansion, so they live in different parts of this huge mansion. But they're, quote, separated. And he basically lives his life in hatred and rage, and he's always ranting and carrying on. And he has stage 4 testicular cancer. And I say to her, you know, hatred is not a good way to heal cancer. It's not a good way to get over a major disease. If only people could learn that, Jeff. If only they could learn that.
You know, one thing that came through as I read the book was the question about whether forgiveness actually needs to be expressed to the other person. I mean, clearly it eventually got there in the story of you with your ex-husband. But I mean, it's more about a conversation you have with yourself, it sounds like, than with the other person.
Right. To me, that story that I tell about being in the hospital with LG and A Course in Love. It's extraordinary because most times, most 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, that doesn't happen. And this happened with him years later. And it still is astonishing to me that it happened, because it doesn't have to happen, and it usually doesn't happen. Remember, forgiveness is a gift we give to ourselves, and we don't ever have to say to the other person, "You were horrible to me, but I'm so holy that I've learned to forgive you." I heard this woman talking on Jeff's show, and I'm going to forgive you right now, even though you were horrible to me, because I'm a holy person. No, we don't do that. We don't need to do that. It's our egos that want us to do that, Jeff, but we don't need to do that. We can set ourselves free and go on.
All right. Well, then, since you mentioned ego, something came to mind when we were first talking, though, about whether people... You caution people about feeling like they've like got onto a higher plane than the person they're forgiving through the process of forgiveness.
Yeah, that's just ego, Jeff. I don't think we need to do that. We need to be about tending our own store rather than taking somebody else's inventory. tending our own soul, you know. Yeah. And what's the point? What is the point?
Okay, a couple more calls here. Let's go to Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joan Gattuso, the author of The Power of Forgiveness.
Yeah, I wondered, I love the conversation, and I wondered if she would be willing to go in the direction of trust, how trust is different from forgiveness, and how sometimes if it's an ongoing situation, and maybe it's an employer or a family member who you'd have to continue dealing with, and yet they do horrible things, or they're racist, or they're womanizers, or whatever, and you have to continue dealing with them, and you cannot trust them, and yet you don't want to carry it into your heart in the sense that you want to be able to protect yourself, but also not to hold it too hard. I mean, it's such a fine balance between forgiving someone and also saying, "And I know I cannot trust you on this issue." You know what I mean?
Right, yes. Thanks for bringing that up, Cynthia. Appreciate that, Joan.
Thank you, Cynthia. This is not an easy situation, or these are not easy situations. As I was listening to you with, like, my physical ears and my spiritual ears, this is what came to me. To say to that person, if you work in an office with that person, to just say every time they come in your space, "I forgive you, I release you, I let you go. All chains that have bound us are now cut free. I am free." Just do that over and over again. And don't take what they say personally. Now, this is a huge order. My husband, David, will often say to me, "Well, you're just taking it personally, what happened." I said, "I know, but it's hard not to say, take something personally when my name, Joan, is attached to the attack, you know? It's hard not to take it personally." But it is really true to just not take it personally. That vitriol that's coming out, that nasty anger, it's in that person's consciousness. Don't let it be in yours. So just say, "I forgive you, I release you, I let you go. All chains that have bound us together are now set free." And if it's a family member, you can limit your contact with them. I don't have this quote right in front of me, but it's one of David's favorite quotes from the Dalai Lama. He talks about how we need to forgive the person who's been our enemy, and we need to forgive them over and over again. And then the end of the quote, it says something like this. And I think I put this in The Power of Forgiveness. And if you find that person just so distasteful that you can't totally forgive him, then it's good to look for the exit. Like that, you know, just like get yourself out of there.
Now, back to spiritual practices, which you say are a logical companion to the process of forgiveness. I mean, and there's room for many in here, given all the various spiritual traditions you're familiar with. But you do caution people, you can follow Jesus Christ to the resurrection, but not to the cross. Help us understand that distinction.
Well, that's such a good question, Jeff. Thank you. Well, because there are many people that think that we need to be crucified, we need to suffer, we need to have our lives be a painful experience, and I don't believe that. We can transcend our suffering. We can have happiness. Sometimes we have to convince our subconscious mind over and over and over again that we deserve to be happy, that we deserve to resurrect ourselves out of this painful situation, and that God's will for you is not to suffer. You may have been taught that as a child, as I was, but there's no medals given out at the end of a lifetime because you won, you suffered the most.
All right, so avoid the actual pain part of it and move on to the afterlife part, the being given new life.
The freedom, right.
Right, okay. The book is called The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. Joan Gattuso wrote it. She's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk more with her. You can join us on the exchange as well. Back on the program with Joan and your phone calls and emails in a minute 25. It's the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Joan Gattuso is a Unity minister from Hawaii. She studied with the Dalai Lama. She's familiar with many spiritual traditions. She's written a book called The Power of Forgiveness, Forgiving as a Path to Freedom. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with perhaps stories from your own life about how forgiveness has worked for you, how forgiveness hasn't worked for you because you haven't embraced it yet, or some stories along those lines, or questions or comments for Joan, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Joan, you counsel us to move past perceptions to actual knowledge. Tell us, don't trust our eyes. How do we get there, particularly if we're not metaphysically inclined in the first place?
It's very cosmic that you brought that up, because that was the spiritual lesson I was studying early this morning, was that very same thing.
Huh.
And our eyes do not give us an accurate view of reality. Reality is something much deeper. So our eyes, our memory of what's happened, are not necessarily accurate, that there is a greater truth that lies within an outer experience. Like, a greater truth could be, you could see that somebody was just a mean son of a gun, but a greater truth could be that this was a very hurt, wounded person who was deeply wounded as a child, and now all he knows how to do is attempt to wound other people. And so when you can see him through those loving eyes rather than judgmental eyes, then the energy shifts. The experience changes for you. Is it going to change for the other person? Not necessarily so. Remember, forgiveness is about changing yourself, not the other person. But gosh, don't we wish it did change the other person? I've certainly wished it changed the other person many times in my past, but it doesn't.
No doubt. So does forgiveness work as something like an immunization? I mean, once you've forgiven a person once, do you kind of feel like you pretty much got blanket immunity the rest of the time? Or is it going to take more effort if they've committed more transgressions down the road?
Well, that's just such a great question. You know, Jesus was asked that question by his apostles, and they said to him, you know, Master, if a brother errs against you, should you forgive him? And they think this is outrageous. Should you forgive him seven times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven, which doesn't mean 490 times. It means an infinite amount of times. And that's one of my favorite techniques that I teach, this 490 technique, which is you take your forgiveness affirmation. And again, because I'm a writer, I write it out. Don't do it on the computer and push the repeat button. Write it out. Write it out. And put, you know, whatever it is, if you're working with someone who's erred against you, say, you know, I forgive you, Bob, for rejecting me, for hurting me, for throwing our love away. And you write that each day for a week. You write it 70 times each day. Another sweeping affirmation I use is that I forgive myself for all known and unknown grievances I have placed upon myself or others. These affirmations are in The Power of Forgiveness. But you write that 70 times. So I do it on a legal pad. It takes quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
To carry that with me in the car. I'd write a few at a stop while I was waiting for lunch to be served. And you write it times for 1 week. And after the week, I'm telling you, the energy begins to shift. Now, do you do this once? Sometimes you may need, if it's a really painful situation, you may need to do it 3 or 5 times. But each time you feel more and more free, you feel lighter. There's just a freshness that sweeps over your soul. So that is a very powerful technique to use.
Interesting, because it, you know, it sounds like the, you know, the writing on the blackboard, you know, I must not talk back to teacher in class.
I never
times.
Thought of that. Oh, I never thought of that. When I was little, the nuns made me write the Beatitudes, like 50, each one, 50 times. I thought, I'm going to show you. I'm going to grow up and be a minister.
You know? Right. And I'm going to end up doing my affirmations many times over, just like the Beatitudes. Oh, that's great. Let's take a call here. We have Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joan Gattuso, the author of The Power of Forgiveness.
Good morning, Joan.
Good morning.
You touched on something. You were talking about chains, right? The chains that we can shed by forgiving. Now, to some people, those chains have become an umbilical cord. What I mean by that is they feel or have been taught or have acquired the identity of being victims, of being wronged or having been wronged. That is their job. And for some of them, it's quite a few actually, it's their really literal money-earning job to propagate, to disseminate victim status and find wrong wherever. And that's widespread and even further spreading kind of societal disease.
So we live for the pain, in a sense.
No, for the grudge.
For the, all right, so the slight, the grudge, okay, but all right.
But the pain, I love what you're saying, Wolfgang. Thank you for calling. The pain becomes the person's identity. It's their umbilical cord. It's their life force. That's a very interesting concept. And some people love to be miserable. They love to suffer because I say to them, well, if you quit talking about this situation, what would you talk about? What would your life be about if it wasn't about this situation? And I've never had anybody that could give me an answer because they are so stuck in their story. They're stuck in victimhood. But, you know, sometimes some people say, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough of being the victim. I want to be free. And we always choose whether we're going to be the victim or be the victor of over our story, over our history.
I had mentioned in some of the materials that we did earlier in the show to talk about you coming on, the idea of flipping the script from victim to victor. But does the presence of a victor also mean that someone has to lose?
No, because you've let that person go and that person isn't in your life. And that person is going about her life, his life, and it has nothing to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with you anymore. So they don't lose. They can be everybody could be a winner, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Everybody could be a winner. If everybody wanted to be the winner.
Right.
If everybody wanted to give up their story of, you know, he done me wrong song.
Mm-hmm. The you describe a counseling a married couple and stopping because these people were so sure, both of them, each of them, that they were right. So in a relationship, which gets us back to the winner-loser equation, whether some people actually do think that if they forgive, they lose.
Oh, well, that's an interesting concept. That's an interesting concept. Jeff, I have to tell you, I've never entertained that concept before because I feel forgiving, we win. But that couple, I started to giggle because, oh, I can actually still picture the scene in my office where it was like, okay, I've had enough.
Uh-huh.
All they wanted to do. And these people, I will tell you, these people were both physicians. They acted like they were 3 years old. They just acted like babies. Of course, they eventually got divorced. And it took years for her to stop talking about him. Years. I was personal friends with her. I mean, years. And I do have to say I've gotten messages that he wants to be friends on Facebook. You know, and I've just been there, did that, had the battle scars, I had the medal. God bless and keep you, but keep you far away from me. I'm sorry, maybe that's unconscious of me, but I just didn't want to be friends with him on Facebook. I just didn't. I had been through too much with these people. So, yes, some people don't want to be free of their pain. They just want to keep, they want to be right. That's a good point. They want to be right. We always say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And I think of a dear member of my congregation years ago who died quite young. She used to go, I want to be both. Can I be both? And I said, no, Candace, you can't be both. You have to pick one. Well, I want to be both. And she died at the Ballet Swan Lake one afternoon, unfortunately.
Oh, yikes. Sorry to hear about that.
I know. Yeah.
Let's take another call here. Let's go to Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joan Gattuso.
Yes, hi, Joan and Jeffrey. Joan, I agree with much of what you say, and I have to also add that I tune into the program rather late, so there may be things you've said that would speak to what I'm about to say that I have not yet heard. And if so, forgive me. But
okay,
While I agree with your general premise, there are some ways you I've heard you in this program use language that I think actually can impede people from actually being able to forgive themselves.
Like what, Sandy?
Whenever people start talking about victimhood and how people choose to hang on to this or choose to hang on to that, yes, on one level, it is a choice, okay? But my work over the years has taught me that often if a person doesn't know, they really get deep in their gut that they actually have a choice. They essentially don't have a choice. And they're stuck in a pattern that will keep repeating and repeating. And merely telling these people, giving them nostrums to say, well, if you just do this or that, and if you can't do that, then there obviously must be something wrong with you, because that's precisely what they're telling themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the tools then, more than nostrums. Thanks for that, Sandy. Appreciate it. Joan, thoughts?
So, again, Sandy probably went offline, huh? So I wonder if Sandy believes that people can make a different choice. That's what I believe. That's what I teach. We can always make a different choice. In The Course in Miracles, I love this. It's so simple. It just says, choose once again. So I've taught people, and I've done it myself, I've chosen happiness rather than to stay in the script of suffering. It's a choice. So people can have this language that impedes their growth, but it's only because they're repeating it over and over again. You know, when something painful happens to us, psychologists tell us it only stays in our psyche for 90 seconds. Now, I know people that have been living in this for 30 years, Jeff, but the way they stay for 30 years is that they keep repeating the script to themselves over and over again. And we can choose once again. I can choose peace instead of this. And that was an affirmation I worked on when I was with my second husband that finally got me to leave. I can choose peace instead of this. What was the this? This was the mistreatment, the abuse, the parsimonious behavior. I could choose peace instead of that, and I finally made that choice and left. And it was a courageous thing to do back then.
To come back to Sandy's question, though, about for people who don't realize they have a choice, though, I mean, what kinds of practices would you recommend to help those people instruct themselves that there are more choices than what they've been taking?
Again, I would say to them, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I can have peace instead of this suffering. We need to convince the subconscious mind that there's another way of looking at the world. We could say, I can look at this situation differently and it can begin to be healed. Or I can look at it the same way I've always looked at it and keep it alive in me. I have a choice. See, because we're not the victim. We think we're the victim of the world we see, but the spiritual truth is we are not the victim of the world we see. And we can argue for our victimhood. We can argue for eternity to the day we draw our last breath, but that doesn't make it true.
So a starter kit for folks who want to embrace what you're talking about in the power of forgiveness, one basic practice to begin toward forgiveness.
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. One, there's many. In A Power of Forgiveness, I give many techniques, and some of us relate to saying affirmations out loud. Some of us relate to sitting down and doing a meditation where we breathe in healing energy into our hearts. We breathe light into our minds. Some of us relate to doing written affirmations. Like I said, that's what I relate to the most. Some of us relate to, you mentioned screaming in the car. You know, but screaming in the car.
Along with Springsteen is what I meant, but yeah.
I know. But we could just scream in the car that, you know, I forgive you, I release you, I let you go. We could do that over and over again. We could sing a little simple spiritual song. Mm-hmm. I used to sing, I am free, I am unlimited, there are no chains that bind me. I used to sing that in the car. The top of my lungs, I am free, I am unlimited, there are no chains that bind me. And I finally was free. This wasn't a quick process, but I finally was free.
And you provide the pathway to the rest of us in The Power of Forgiveness, forgiving as a path to freedom. Joan Gattuso, pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jeff. You've been a great host. Thank you
very much. Take care.